I direct your attention to John, the 21st chapter. We're going to read a few verses to introduce our story this morning that I want to look at with you. Beginning in verse 17, the writer said, "He had said unto the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not." This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, "Follow me." Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, saying, "Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee?" And Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do?" Jesus said unto him, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me." I think you find a very interesting story today in our text. You know, you find two of the most prominent disciples of our Lord, Peter and John, talked about here, and they are kind of the main characters of our story this morning. And the deal with Peter and John were they were just good friends. You know, Peter and John had been together for a long time. They had fished together. They had worked together for many, many years before Jesus had called them to be fishers of men. And they were just good friends, good buddies, and they were always concerned about one another and all the things that they did together. They had learned about Jesus from John the Baptist. We remember that they also traveled together with Jesus for more than 3 years. And they were there at the time that the Lord was crucified, and they were also one of the first ones at the tomb of our Lord. And so they had been with him, and they'd been through a lot of things together. They had a lot of time they could sit and just talk to one another and reminisce about all the things that they had done. Well, now here in John, the 21st chapter, we read of one of the very last times that they were going to be with the Lord. And they were down by the shore of Galilee, the Bible says, and the master had asked Peter three times, in fact, about, "Peter, I just want to know if you really love me. Do you really care about me?" And every time Peter would say, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." And then he would tell him, "Then feed my sheep." And you know, it got down to the third time, and he said, "Peter, do you love me?" And you can just, as you remember Peter and the way that he was a lot of times, you could just see he'd almost be aggravated with the Lord a little bit. "Lord, you know I love you." In other words, "Lord, why keep asking me this? You know that I care about you. You know that I love you." And Jesus said unto Peter, he says, "Feed my sheep and follow me." And then he said some things I thought was very interesting. He talked to Peter about the times of his death. And he talked about the fact, he said, "Peter, when you were young, you used to just go do whatever you wanted to do." And I think those of us who are older, we could kind of relate to what he was talking about. You know, when you were younger, you didn't think about things. You just went and ran, did whatever you wanted to do, and played, and you didn't think about these things. But he said, "Peter, when you get older," he said, "you're going to have somebody take care of you. You're going to have somebody leading you around maybe places you really don't want to go, but you're going to have to go because they're the ones taking care of you." And then he talked about his death. And then when he had spoken these things, he said unto Peter, "Follow me." Well, you know, it's interesting what follows there is that Peter began to think about all these things. And then he looked over at John. He thought about his buddy John. He thought, "Well, the Lord talked about what was going to happen to me. And the Lord asked me to follow him and all of these things." And then he said to the Lord, he says, "What's going to happen to John?" He said, what's going to be John's end? What's going to happen with him?" And he was just concerned about his good friend and what was going to be the end for him and all of these things. And then I want you to listen to what the Lord said. And as you read it at first, it's almost like, Lord, couldn't you have been a little easier on him? Could you have been a little easier on Peter here? But don't you listen to him. He said, then Peter asked about John, saying, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus said unto him, if he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? In other words, if he's still here when I get back, well, don't worry about it. Don't worry about what's going to happen to John. Don't worry about what's going to happen in the latter part of his life. You just keep your mind on following me. Now, Jesus knew Peter, and knew Peter very well, and had gotten Peter out of a lot of different jams and had taken care of Peter all of his life. And so the Lord saw an opportunity to teach Peter a lesson, and so he used this time to do that. And no matter how close the relationship had been between Peter and John, the responsibility for Peter to consider with the statement of the Lord that he told him, he said, you follow me. In other words, Peter, you take care of the things that I want you to do. You make sure that your main focus in life is upon me. You know, his interest in John, no matter how close and how tender and how caring it seemed for him, was to be something that was secondary to the main thing. And I think that the Lord knew Peter so well to know that here the Lord was telling Peter some very important things. And like a lot of us, you know, Peter's mind would drift away to other things. And Peter just thought, what's going to happen to John? And the Lord said, wait a minute, get back on track. Get back and listen to what I'm saying to you, just like your parents did with you sometimes. You know, get back, listen to me. Follow me. Take care of the things that I am going to do. He wanted Peter to understand that through all of the problems and all of the troubles, his main concern should be to follow Jesus. Through all the sacrifices, Peter should follow the Lord. And this was to be the will of the Lord. This is what he wanted him to do. He said, my work will be your work. The things that I want you to do, that should be your desire. In other words, he said, I'm going to be your standard of life. I'm going to be what you're concerned with, not these other things. I'm going to be your standard until the very end. And this lesson for Peter, as I read this and began to look at it, I thought, this is good for me. And hopefully it'll be good for a lot of us. It'll be something that's helpful to us to understand what Peter went through. And he said, I want you to follow me. You know, and that's what Jesus would say to all of us. He says, I want you to keep your head on straight. I want you to focus on what's really important in life. And you know, the thing that the Lord is concerned for us, and I have a great concern for all of us, is that not that we're just going to run out here and do things that we shouldn't do, not we're just going to make it our life's work to flaunt the laws of God and do things that we shouldn't do, but the main concern that I have for me and my kids and hopefully for you and yours is that we choose things that are second best. You know, they're not bad within themselves. They're things that you and I do every day that within themselves, they're not bad. They're good things, but you know, we have a tendency to take things that are good and do things with them or place too much emphasis on them or too much time on them to where we really miss the point, don't we, sometimes? We really miss what God wants us to know. And the Lord was telling Peter, while it's good for you to be concerned about John, don't lose sight of what's first. Don't lose sight of what should really be in your mind. And so as I thought about this, I thought, well, how much can I be interested in other people? And the question comes to your mind this morning is, can my interest in other people, can my interest in taking care of other people sometimes hinder me from serving the Lord? And the answer has to be, yeah, I can. You know, things, even good things that we do for others and my concern for my family or other people, if I'm not careful, those things can keep me and hinder me from doing what God wants me to do. You know, truly as Christians, we should have concern about the welfare of others. And in some ways, We should be interested in helping and all the needs of other people. Jesus taught this lesson, you remember, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, where that the actual physical needs of somebody should be my concern. That if I can help, if I can be somebody that's a neighbor to someone, then that's what I should do. If they have need of what I can do, what happens? All of a sudden, what they become my neighbor. You know, not just the person next door, not just our family, but people who have need of what we can do. If we can help them, then they, Jesus says, they become my neighbor. You know, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this: to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. You know, not only should we be interested in the physical ways that we can help other people, but also their salvation. I need to be concerned about lost people. I need to be concerned about those who are not living according to God's will. The Bible says that we are to bring them to the Lamb of God, according to John 1, who can take away the sins of the world. Paul said, "My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Paul said, "I've got a desire for people that not only should they be in well health, but that they be saved. This is my concern." And so we should love the brethren. We should, as John wrote, know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. So all of these scriptures and many, many more are telling me what? I need to have interest in other people. I need to bear one another's burdens. I need to have all the concern in the world for other folks. But our interest in others should never be permitted to cause us to forget that Jesus says, "Follow me." Jesus is the focal point. Jesus is our standard of life. Jesus is what we look for. The Lord bidding and his commandments are to rule our entire lives. Friendship and fleshly ties should never sway us or deter us from doing the Master's will. And I worry about that sometimes, because I've seen it happen in the lives of people. I've seen it happen to where because of something that's happened to their family, or because their family decided to go somewhere and to do something that was not scriptural and to do these things, all of a sudden they begin to try in their minds and in their hearts to figure out, how can I make this right? Before it wasn't right. I know it wasn't right. I'm against that. But because my family's involved now, sometimes they try to figure out, well, how can I make this okay? And the Lord's trying to tell us, no matter if it's friends, no matter if it's family, we can't allow that to deter us from doing the Father's will. We just simply cannot do that. And so he admonishes us. Peter reminds us through this story that our interest in and concern for others should be what? It should be a means of doing the will of God. My interest in you and your will and your and what happens to you and yours for me should what? It should be a means of what? Doing the will of God. That should be our concern this morning. Our love for our fellow Christians should be real, and it should be sincere. And it should move us to do things for one another. But it should never be permitted to overshadow the main thing and the main goal. And that is, Jesus said, "I want you to follow me." You know, the problem was for Peter and for a lot of us is that Jesus knew that if we're not careful, what happens to us? We follow other men, don't we? We have this tendency and this inclination to follow other men. And he knew Peter's heart. You know, Peter allowed the presence of the enemies of Jesus to cause him to do something that he normally would not have done. We find that as he was amongst the enemies of Jesus, that the Bible said that he denied the Lord three times, even to the point that he says, "I don't even know this man." Now, this is something that Peter wouldn't have normally done, but because of the situation that he was in, he was willing to do that. You know, another time he permitted the coming of some from Jerusalem to cause him to separate from the faithful Gentile Christians. You know, this was that old Jewish thing, that the way that he was raised. And it was, there was always a separation of Jews and Gentiles. And then we find on this occasion that here the Jewish people were there and the Gentiles were there. And Peter let this old inclination to be with his people, to be with the Jews, cause him to separate himself from the Gentiles. So Jesus knew he had a problem. He knew he had a problem with dealing with these kind of things. And it was so bad that Paul said, I just told him straight up how it was. He said, I told him to his face that it was wrong for him to be that way and to do those kind of things. And so they divided the church of our Lord at Corinth, and Paul rebuked him, saying, Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He said, don't follow men. Don't have the inclination to follow them. Follow the Lord. And so I think it's important that as we read and study the scriptures, that we see that where the Lord had told Peter, he said, listen, I know you're concerned about other people. I know you have great admiration for other people. But he said, don't allow that to overshadow the fact that they're my servants. Don't let it overshadow the fact that they're preaching to you about me, and that you are to follow me. So I think that certainly the Apostle Paul and others like him and the Apostle Peter, they're people that would be first to tell us that our standard for the Lord, our standard for religion ought to be the Lord, not anything else, not mankind, not what people would say, but should be for the Lord. And I think that it brings us to another question that we have to ask. Why are we what we are religiously? Why are we this morning what we are? Can we read in the scriptures why we do what we do? And you know, a lot of people in the world, they have a hard time doing that. They can't read to you and tell you why they are religiously. A lot of them will say, well, it's because that's what my family's always done. Or, you know, that's our family's always been that way religiously. Or that's the way that I was taught from early ages. And so we need to ask ourselves this morning, why is it that you do or practice what you do in religion? Do we love the Lord enough to set certain things aside to follow him? And I think that's what he was saying to Peter. Peter, are you willing to set your feelings for John aside and to focus on me and let me be your standard of life? Am I your main concern in life, or is it other things, even good things? Is it other things that you have on your mind? Would traditions and practices, would they be something that you would look to rather than obedience to God's will? Well, hopefully we can say we follow the Lord, and what we study in the Word of God is the way that we live and the way that we practice the things that God wants us to do. And then when we are able to do that, then let's be faithful in that. Let's be people who are willing to follow in life and in worship and in service to Christ the things that we can read about in the Word of God. You know, these are heart-searching questions. And for a lot of people, a lot of other people, it's tough for them when you talk about religion and you talk about why they do what they do. Because there's so much family involved and so much friends involved. And we find that a lot of people have strayed away and left the church simply because of those things. And I think it's important that we recognize that here our Lord is saying, don't allow these things to become your standard in life. Don't allow these things to become what you follow. Paul said on one occasion that the things that I used to do, he said, I don't do any longer. Why? Because he said, I obeyed the Lord. He said, he is now my standard of life. He said, what things were gained to me, those I count loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said, I've been willing to put all these things aside to follow Jesus. He said, I had a lot of things. He said, I was educated in certain ways. I was brought up to believe to do certain things. But he said, I count these things as loss that I follow Jesus. And then he talked about the idea that he would die to these things. Christ became all to him, even to the point that he says, for me to live is Christ. He's my focal point. He's what I want to be. He's what I want to follow. And that was the admonition from Peter in our story as well. He said, and to die is to gain. And to die and to go to be with the Lord is simply gain. You know, through Christ in death, he would gain the blessings of all of heaven. He would gain the things that he had strove for so long, and the things that he had wanted for so many years. But you know, the standard of life for so many people in the world, and the standard for many Christians sometimes, is that we make the things of the world our standard. You know, in other words, we make material values a standard of life. We live in such an age of material prosperity and the most prosperous nation in the world. And too often these material things are causing men to lose their proper values in life. It's easy for us. And I think it's easy for our children sometimes to see the world and all that it has to offer and be swayed that way. And a lot of times if we sit and we're very honest with ourselves, we can see ourselves drifting that way. We can see the things that we do are because of the things that of the world that we live in. Men are definitely tearing down their barns and building greater barns, as the writer would remind us. They are obsessed with what they have and the things that they have. Certainly modern conveniences that they own are so important to them that they forget that some of these days they're going to leave all these things behind. And I think we're all guilty at times of following that kind of idea that we want more, we want better, we want greater. And certainly I think if we're not careful, these things can consume our very life. You know, there's something that the Lord said in Luke 12 that I don't know that we've ever really grasped it. I don't know that I have ever really, we know it, we understand it, we read it, we believe it, but I'm not sure that we really take it to heart in the life that we live. You remember the Lord said there that a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And I'm not sure that we really believe that sometimes. Because, you know, when we look at somebody out here in the world and we see all of the things that they have and that they've amassed a great bunch of this world's goods and they live in very beautiful homes and they have all the things, the first thing that you think is what? Now, there's a man who's has made it. You know, there's a man who's done well. There's a man that evidently is a great man. And we get into that very same idea that the world has. And the Lord keeps saying, don't place a value on a man because of all the things he possesses. A man's value is not that. And I'm not sure that we ever really grasp that scripture to the point that we should. You know, Christ gave us the story of the rich fool in Luke 12 to remind us that some of the days that God's going to say to us, maybe, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. You remember the story so well. He had amassed so many things, tore down his barn, built greater barns. And he said, I've got much goods laid up for many years. I've got lots of things. I'm going to be all right for a long time. And that's the way that he felt. And, you know, sometimes we feel that way. I've kind of got my ducks in a row, you know. I've got my retirement kind of laid out for me. And you know, I'm just going to be here for a long time. And the Lord may say, you're leaving. You're leaving tonight. And, you know, I think that it was a great surprise to this man. He never thought he was leaving. He sure never thought he was leaving this early. And the Lord said, this night shall thy soul be required of thee. The important thing is that you and I recognize that we need to get our souls right. We need to get our priorities straight. We need to make sure, as Jesus told Peter, I know all these things are good. Some of these things are important. Some of these things you need to be aware of. But don't lose sight of the real values of life. Don't lose sight of what's really important. And that is to lay up ourselves treasures in heaven. Be rich towards God. You know, people are interested in their businesses and their professions, and certainly I've seen it, you've seen it. And we may have been guilty of it ourselves, that we allow our businesses and our professions to take priority over our souls. We spend so much time and so many hours in the day doing these things till if we're not careful, these things will take priority. I had a good friend one time, and he had amassed a lot of things, and he had really worked himself up in business. And they said, "If you want to grow now, I need you to go out here and live out here." And he thought about it hard and long. There wasn't a congregation very close by to where he was going to be. And he said, "You know, I can travel on Sunday, and we'll travel, and we'll be all right." We talked about it for a long time, and I was hoping he wasn't going to go, but he did. Took his family, went out there, and then everything that he had more responsibility, he had more pressures, he had more things, and then it was hard to get up on Sunday and to drive, you know, that hour and a half over there to go to church, and they would do that for a while, and it just seemed like the longer it went, the further he drifted away from the Lord. And he'd be the first one to tell you now that exactly what happened. He allowed his business, he allowed his profession to keep him from being what God really wanted him to be. You know, as you grow older, hopefully you've noticed the same thing I do, that life's not very long. Life's pretty short. And certainly we need to be mindful of that very thing. We just need to stop and think sometimes. In our busy life, in our busy world, we need to stop and think, what am I doing? Where am I headed? Have I forgotten some of the words of the Lord? You remember he said on another occasion, he said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" What is it that you're willing to give up? What is it that you're willing to set aside in order that you could gain the world's goods? You know, at the time, in eternity is not measured by earthly days. You know, it's hard for us to even think about eternity, because you know, everything that we have, it has an end. Everything that we know and has ever known has had a stopping place. And so the idea of eternity, something that never ends, is hard to kind of for us to get our head around. But the Lord is reminding us that eternity knows no end. And you're going to make a decision that Christ has provided us an opportunity. He's provided us a way to heaven. And you've got to make that choice this morning, whether or not that you want to spend eternity with him, or whether or not. He's plainly told us, "In my Father's house are many mansions." And he describes some of the happiness and the glory that is there. And then he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the light. I'm the way to get there." And he places all these things before us. He wants you to think about heaven. He wants you to think about all these wonderful things that he has done for us. And then he says, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me." You know, that's what he was telling Peter. In such a roundabout way, he was telling Peter, he said, "Peter, I'm the way. And while all these things are good and all these things, you want to look after John and you want to help one another and we want to be benevolent in every possible way that we can. But Peter, remember, I'm the way. I'm the truth. Don't lose sight of the very things that I have set before us." And he says, the Bible said that Christ leaves us an example that we should follow in his steps. This morning, what's your standard of life? You know, is the Bible your guidebook? Do you read the Word of God and let its teaching rule your life? Do you allow other things to enter into that? Or is Jesus your standard? Or have you made your profession? Have you made the things that you do out here in the world? Is that your standard? If it has been, we need to take a serious look at our lives. The Bible tells us that we are to do the will of God. We are to be obedient, even unto death, even the death of the cross. He said in Philippians 2 and verse 8, talking about our Lord as being our pattern and our example for life. You know, the Bible will be the way that we're going to be judged one of these days. And I hope that people recognize that very thing, is that we're going to be judged according to the things written in this book. You know, if we were going to be judged according to the world, if we were going to be judged according to man or other things, then it would be all right for us to do pretty much whatever we please to do. But you know, if I'm going to be judged out of this book, then I want to follow the book. I want to follow the pattern that he has set before us in our lives. And it will be the sole authority as we step before the Master one of these days. You know, what is important enough or valuable enough to exchange your soul for? You know, for Peter, the Lord was worried about his family ties, wasn't it? For Peter, he was worried about Peter drifting sometimes. You know, Peter was a great man of God. But you know, he had a tendency sometimes to allow himself to drift just a little bit. And for him, it was family ties. That's what he was worried about. That's what the Lord was worried about for him, that he would lose sight of. Now this morning, that may not be your deal, your problem. You may have something else. And I may have something else. And we know what that is. You know, it's that sin that the Bible talks about in another occasion. That sin which so easily besets us. Remember he talked about running that race? And for everybody, it's a sin that easily gets you. It may not get you. My sin may not even bother you. And you know, there may be things that bother you that I don't have a problem with. That it just doesn't simply faze me. But I've got mine. And I know what it is, and it bothers me, and I struggle with it, and I watch it, and I deal with it. And you know what yours is, the thing that so easily distracts you from doing what God wants you to do. Well, that's the part the Lord said, I want you to be careful. That's the part he says, I want you to let, he said, don't ever let the influences of mankind, no matter how strong they may be, to be your standard of life. He was so worried about Peter. You know, the Lord prayed for Peter. The Lord loved Peter so much. He cared for him. He just knew that he needed a little push every now and then. And don't we all need a little help? Don't we all need that Lord, just help me, watch me. You know, when I start straying away, reach out and grab me. Just help me. And that's what we want for each one of us. And that's what he wanted for Peter. And I think that's why this story this morning, it really hits home with me. It makes me want to be concerned about where I'm headed and how I'm headed there. And Jesus wanted Peter to be right. He wanted him to do the things that are right. We're going to close with that this morning. I guess if I could sum it up in some way, I'd say don't let even good things get in your way. You know, don't even let things that are good within themselves keep you out of heaven. Don't put so much priority on a lot of these things and abuse them to the point that they become something that is your hindrance. Don't allow these things to keep you out of heaven. And I hope this morning this little story of Peter and Jesus helping him and trying to get him back on track will help us this morning. Hopefully they will. Let's think on these things this morning while we stand and while we sing.